This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And I'm Joe Weber.
Yay!
Joe's back. Welcome back, buddy.
It's good to be home.
Wait, you live in my house, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. We'll figure it out after.
It's already been figured out.
We have an excellent show for this week. Of course, it is the first week of actual baseball, so we have real baseball to talk about. We also have Sandeep Parikh as our guest. He's a fantastic actor and writer. You may know his work from the series The Guild, and he stops by to talk about his beloved Boston Red Sox. Yeah. So that'll be coming up a little bit later. Before we get into the show, we want to give a big shout out to Boardwalk Audio for hosting us. You can support us or support Boardwalk by visiting boardwalkaudio.com/ducksnort, clicking on the link that'll take you to Amazon, shop like you normally would, and we get a small percentage. We also want to thank offthebenchbaseball.com for distributing the show. Great site. We're happy to be working with. If you are just listening for the first time in a while, check out last week's episode where we previewed the season with Sean Morash, who's one of the co-founders. Also, visit offthebenchbaseball.com for lots of cool opening weekend thoughts. They're really great, so we're happy to be working with them.
I just got some more ash.
Some more ash?
I ordered two bats.
Ah, more.
Oh, wow.
That was good.
That was really,
just kidding, they're maple.
not as good. but I hope you crack
That's where
some,
I've been the
hope
these
you crack
last 3 weeks is
thinking up
online
that
online looking for the comparing bats, going to Dick's, swinging the bats. And then I finally landed on a bamboo maple hybrid.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
That'll be sturdy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because we don't want a lot of broken bats.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm sick of
so
broken
frustrated.
Bats. Yeah. Greg, you bought a bat the first swing you did
broke
with it.
Yeah. That's true. It sucked. $30 down the drain. But I still have that. Now I have that bat under my bed. And I'm like, should I throw it away? Should I keep it?
It's now you can use it to swing or stab.
Yeah, it's a better weapon.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, if anybody ever tries to break in, now I got this. I can either break it over my knee and go two-handed with shards.
I'm not a swinging hobo. I'm a stabbing hobo.
opening weekend.
Opening weekend.
It was great. I watched only two games because the White Sox got rained out. Well, I watched two White Sox games. I also watched Giants-Dodgers a couple times. I watched Red Sox-Rays for a bit. I'm just so happy it's back. I'll watch anybody.
I didn't watch Giants-Dodgers because I was in Phoenix over the weekend, and those games didn't work with my schedule, but I watched, like, if the Angels were on, I watched them.
Did you watch Ohtani's first start?
I did not because I was on the road driving back. But if the Angels were on, I watched them. Mostly because, I mean, Trout is great, but also because I was like, I never get to watch the Angels in LA.
Because they're blacked out.
Yeah, they're blacked out. So I watched that. I watched the Tigers and Pirates.
I saw that
a couple times. I watched that big long game.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it. I watched all 17 innings of the Cubs Marlins game. It ended poorly for the Cubs.
Yeah, so the Cubs are 1-2, right?
2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Probably hoping for better versus the Marlins, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to... Okay, here's the thing. The bullpen looks amazing so far. Or if I'm going to do my knee-jerk early season reactions.
Sure.
Because Eddie Butler had the longest outing of his career in relief in that game. He went 7 innings and gave up no runs.
That's crazy.
But the bullpen, the whole series looked very good. The starting pitchers not named Kyle Hendricks did not look good. Which is Lester, whatever, but Quintana and Darvish looking bad sucks.
Yeah, Darvish, pretty underwhelming first outing. Yeah.
And Quintana had one where he was cruising and then got to the fifth and farted. Is that a thing that he did?
With Quintana?
Yeah.
Generally?
Is he bad? Okay.
He'll be fine.
I'm not overreact. Darvish is the only one that I'm like worried about. This early.
Well, yeah, it would have been reassuring after his playoff outings to see a good start. But
I'm not super worried. It's one start. But Quintana, I think, will be fine. Lester, I think, will be about... I didn't think he'd be that good anyway. the thing that sucks is that they don't get timely hits. Like, they hit, but they don't get hits with runners on. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo don't get on in the same inning. And then Javi Baez strikes out with men on or gets a double with no... Like,
yeah, but that's not... That's sort of random.
That is random. So that's why I'm not freaking out too much. But it was a problem last year. So it kind of sucked to be like... It felt
again,
like this series felt like watching them in July last year.
Interesting.
Which was very frustrating. Okay, so that's it. I don't have to talk about the Cubs anymore.
Well, the White Sox are a powerhouse.
Yeah, that's
undefeated.
I don't think the Royals are going to make the playoffs.
You're going walking back your second wild card prediction after those two games. Well, the nice thing about this opening weekend for me was the White Sox. It feels like, again, it's kind of the same thing where it's like maybe not actually borne out in any sort of predictable way, but the feeling with the White Sox is they always underwhelm opening weekend. And it felt like that was going to happen again because James Shields allowed 4 runs before he got an out. And also James Shields was our opening day starter, which is just an absurd sentence to be saying in the year 2018, but yeah. Here we are. But then they came back, hit 6 home runs in the first game, had another comeback victory in the second game, got rained out in the third game. So I'm flying high on Matt Davidson's 3 home runs, Tim Anderson's 2 home runs. Like, everybody's hitting so far.
In Kauffman Stadium.
In Kauffman
Stadium.
In
the cold.
Yeah, an incredibly hard place to hit.
That Royals pitching is going to be
real
atrocious.
Bad. Yeah. So, and the Royals are, even though they're going to be bad this year, they're a fun team to watch lose for me because of how good they were and also how frustrating they were even when they weren't good for the White Sox. Like, there was one season, I think it was 2014 or maybe 2012, where the White Sox, the Royals were really bad and the White Sox went like 5-14 against them or something. And if they had even finished at .500 against the Royals, they would have made the playoffs. So, Fun for me to watch.
I feel like the Pirates have done that to the Cubs before.
Yeah.
Joe, did you watch any of the Brew Crew?
Yeah. I saw 2 out of the 3 games, and they're looking great.
Yeah.
I don't have
Yelich
much to say.
Yelich went 5-for-5 the other day.
He was fucking on fire.
I think...
I'm so happy to have Yelich.
Yeah. And we talk...
And Kane was doing great, too.
Isn't he fun to watch?
He's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder... I'm already on the lookout for like what the surprise teams are gonna be. I don't have a great feel yet. I mean, I am irrationally high on the White Sox right now. Like,
I still
don't think that's gonna happen. Like, they're not gonna make the playoffs, but it seems more possible than it did. I picked the Brewers to be the second wild card, so I don't know if they can actually surprise. But they looked really good.
I think
the Braves
might be a little better. Or maybe Gabe Kapler's just that bad.
Well, the Phillies, yeah, we should talk about Kapler real quick.
Yeah. That was insane.
We were talking about it before the show, but if you're not aware, Kapler just had some misadventures in bullpen management, pulling starters super early, going to the bullpen when nobody was warmed up, which got the Braves manager ejected for arguing. Like, you don't want to overreact to something like that, but you have to wonder, like, I've had bad bosses, you know what I mean? And, like, once you've lost faith in your boss, it's very hard for them to earn that back. And so that's what I'm more worried about. Like, I'm sure he'll figure out whatever bullpen, and maybe the front office will rein him in a little bit with how aggressive he's being analytically, but, like, are those players, like, are they going to trust him with, like, roster management for over the next few weeks, months.
It
seems
like he could sink their season. I said this before we were recording, but like I think he could single-handedly sink their season, which not single-handedly, but like I think he could play a large, like, because of what you just said.
Yeah.
If the Phillies were going to contend, Gabe Kapler could be very easily the reason they don't.
But it's still possible he could be a great manager.
Yeah, this
and like
could just
maybe
be
we,
one bad
maybe
series.
It's a blip, you know, but
Love overreact. Baseball is perfect for
overreacting to small. No, but it has to be disconcerting if you're a Phillies fan.
Yeah.
Or player. or the general manager or owner.
Did you see when a fan shouted at Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
Overrated.
That was the best video.
Shacked a home run.
Just crushed it. Yeah, fantastic. I don't know if he actually could hear that guy. Like, I don't know where the mic is placed, but like, perfect viewing experience.
I remember, maybe I told the story before, but I once was at a Royals game when A-Rod played for the Rangers, and I was like close enough where he could hear me when he was on deck, and I was riding him so hard the whole time. I was like 16, and I was like, "You suck!" Just like going crazy, and he went like 4 for 5 with 2 home runs that game. And afterwards, my friends were like, "Dude, I think you got to stop." I was like, "Yeah."
Lesson learned.
I don't know if he actually did hear me, but I was close enough where he could have heard me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think players get pissed off. Yeah, like surprise teams. I don't know. The Pirates are 3-0, but they were playing the Tigers.
Yeah, Tigers are going to be the worst team in baseball this side of the Marlins.
Yeah, and I watched a couple of those games. The Pirates didn't look great. And their announcers are so bad.
Really?
Both of those teams have terrible announcers. Tigers are better. Pirates announcers are maybe the worst in baseball.
Yeah, they were like the early game for 2 days, right? So that's why I watched them a bit too. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is the only game on. I don't want to watch either of these teams, but here I am. It's baseball season.
Toronto might be good. Toronto could be not bad.
Well, I just kind of highlighted them last week as like maybe a team on the fringes of the wild card people are underestimating.
But I think it's just tough. There's so many people picking so many surprise teams. Like, no one, like the Pirates being 3-0 is the biggest surprise, but I think that's an empty 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if they compete.
Yeah.
I think that Dodgers Giants series was interesting in terms of like neither of those teams scored any runs. Like, and
well, it's 9-0 in one of the games, but
yeah, I guess so. But like the, it seems like the lineups are the strength of both of those teams. And like Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen started off the season like a combined 2 for 25 or something like that.
I feel like McCutchen's always a super, super slow starter.
Yeah.
Not that that is an excuse.
Right.
But those first two games were crazy weird. Just 2 Joe Panic home runs.
Yeah. Yeah. 1-0 games and Joe Panic. That was the first time that had ever happened in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, but that's one of the coolest things about baseball is new stuff is constantly happening.
Well, Ian Happ hitting the first pitch of the entire season out was only the second time that had ever happened.
Yeah.
And the first time was in 86. So it's like we went 80 or whatever, 100 years without
it
happening.
And then twice.
It still only happened twice. Yeah.
And Matt Davidson hitting 3 home runs on opening day. That was the fourth time that had ever happened. But that was also the first time in the StatCast era that anybody had ever hit 3. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I think it might have been 3 balls in the same game over 113 miles an hour. If it wasn't 3 balls, it was 3 home runs for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he had those were also the 3 hardest hit balls of his career.
Is StatCast measuring every pitch? Like, so when you say hit, like, because I have to imagine that, like, Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper have hit 3 foul balls in a game. Oh, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe it's fair balls. I mean, it does measure every pitch. I don't know about
foul balls. I
don't
know when they put that out. Is it always just balls in play?
I'm assuming it's results. Balls in play.
Did you guys see that Ichiro home run, Rob?
Yeah. Great play by Ichiro.
Ichiro robbed a home run at age 44.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, got to be frustrating for Jose Ramirez in that moment to see this middle-aged dude.
But then also everyone give him a standing ovation to like, get your home run.
God damn it. So we are going to continue our slogan project in just a moment where we've been coming up with slogans for every team in baseball. And this week we're doing the NL East. But before that, we wanted to look at why don't you explain it since it was your idea?
Okay, so I want to just pick some stats and we'll look at the AL leader and NL leader after these 4 days, 2 games for some, 4 games for others. And then we'll choose between the AL and NL leader who we think is more likely to actually
lead
wire to wire in those categories. Sound good?
Yeah.
Do you have categories you want to do?
I figured we'd sort of do the standard.
Okay, the triple.
Like,
triple crown
Triple crown maybe, and then pitchers triple crown, I guess,
great.
As well.
batting average, American League.
We got Mitch Haniger as the leader at 625. In the NL, we have Adam Eaton
at
hitting 615. That's a pretty easy one.
Adam Eaton,
right? Yeah. Although Haniger did have a very good year last year. Maybe
he's not going to lead the league.
Maybe he's building on that year.
Robinson Cano is second. If he had a
Robinson Caruso?
Robinson Caruso. They found him.
You've heard of him?
Yeah, he's been on an island just practicing baseball.
Yep. Home runs. We know who the AL leader is because his name is Matt Davidson.
Matty D.
And the NL leader in home runs, also a three, is Charlie Blackman.
Charlie Blackman.
I think we know the answer to that one, right? You think Matty Davidson?
I don't. But that dude is powerful. He had a terrible year last year, and he hit 26 homers in like 100 games.
Do you think he can hit 35?
I think if he plays every day, he can hit over 40 home runs. I don't think that he'll be a valuable player necessarily, even if he hits 40 home runs. And I don't think he'll play every day, but I think he has the power to be among the league leaders in home runs. I think he has more power, like tool-wise, than Charlie Blackman. But Blackman plays in Colorado. He hits for a much higher average, so he just gets more hits. And he has the longer track record, of course. So Blackman's more likely, but who? I mean, Stanton's gone from the NL, so who's likely to? Goldschmidt, maybe?
Bryant or Rizzo.
Bryant or Rizzo. Or Harper, I guess.
Because Rizzo probably, because he'll be hitting behind Bryant.
Or Freddie Freeman.
Freeman, if he's got people on base ahead of him.
Reese Hoskins.
Or wait, we're talking about home runs. I was already going straight to RBI. My brain broke. Home runs, I'll go back. Who can hit more than Blackman?
Yeah.
Harper, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bryant could. I don't know what Bryant Rizzo's ceiling really is.
Bellinger, I guess.
Yeah, he finally hit his first one. Finally, five four games. It's so frustrating. Everyone expects everyone to be awesome as soon as the season starts. I don't know, because Votto's probably just like a 25 home run guy at this point. I don't see him hitting.
Yeah. Well, he hit over 30 last year, I think.
Did he? I don't know. Unless like Ozuna busts out.
There's a lot of guys, yeah. I guess. But
I think it's not as clear. Because like in the AL, we'd say like, well, Stanton or Judge.
Yeah.
I guess it's just those two guys. That was going to Trout could.
Yeah. I think probably Stanton.
Stanton's going to lead the league, you think?
Just in that stadium. The Marlins Stadium is not a good home run stadium.
It's very encouraging to see him hit two home runs in the first game.
That's crazy.
Are we doing RBI? Do you want to do RBI?
Yeah, let's do RBI.
Nick Ahmed
for the Diamondbacks, shortstop.
Is the leader of the NL.
And Justin Smoak in the AL. I mean, Smoak, for sure. Nick Ahmed is a terrible hitter. This is the small sample size thing. And I actually saw, I think it was on Fangraphs, reading their like Sunday Notes column, and they did, like, part of it was about Nick Ahmed, and it was like, how he was, you know, trying to do launch angle or something like that. It was like, the early returns are promising, and it had been literally two games. And I was like, I guess you can say that technically, but like, this dude has a career OPS of like 650 or something. Like, the early returns of getting four hits in two games is like not necessarily indicative of
those.
Those
aren't returns.
Yeah.
Brian Anderson for the Marlins is second in the NL, so two.
Who?
He's the third baseman for the Marlins.
I only know this because I watched
four Marlins games in a row.
I guess pitching is harder to do. Should we even do it?
No, I think we should wait on pitching.
Okay, maybe we'll do that next week for early pitching triple. How about we just skip to OPS?
Yeah. Okay. That's Matt Davidson
and Adam Eaton.
Okay,
I would say Matt Davidson
Adam
is more likely to lead the league in OPS than Adam Eaton.
Oh, yeah, that for sure.
Like, neither of them are likely whatsoever. Yeah. But, like, if one of them is going to have, like, an insane year, like, it's like a 2% chance versus a 1% chance. But the 2% chance edge goes to Davidson, I think, just because of how much power he has.
Yeah. Walks, Candelario for the Tigers, Josh Alton, Manny Machado, Giancarlo Stanton.
No, Freddie Freeman has 7 walks.
I'm talking about the AL.
Oh, they're tied, I see.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be more specific. You make me look like an asshole right now. I don't know. I don't care.
I don't know, Machado, I guess.
Stanton.
I just thought that Candelario is up there with Machado, Stanton, and Donaldson.
Three people
that are going to take a ton of walks. Yeah. And then the third baseman for the Tigers.
I would say Freeman is more likely than Stanton, though.
To lead the league in walks?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to put him on all the time if there's nobody hitting around him. Yeah, it's fun to look at early stuff. It's actually not as crazy as maybe I thought it would be when I
pitched
this.
It'd be a little bit...
A little bit wackier.
I guess, like, Davidson is the big out. Davidson and Ahmed are the big outliers.
Maybe four
right now.
Games is way too small.
Too soon.
To do these. There are some triples. Gerard Dyson has a triple. He could lead the league in triples. All right. You want to go on to ours?
Yeah, let's skip ahead. Let's skip to our slogans. Maybe this will be slightly more interesting than us looking
at
the leaders.
It's fun to see who does well early. We should just pick like a random week in like just a week in July and just narrow it down to see who led that week. Because people put so much emphasis on the first part of the season. Yeah,
but it's like
you can grab any week and get crazy weird numbers. All right. So NL East. We're on the NL East. For those of you who haven't listened, we have created our own slogans for every team for the 2018 season.
Very good.
They're very good. These are the slogans we would do if we weren't getting paid by them, because there's no way anyone would pay us to do these. but these are the slogans we have for every team. We're going by every division. We've done the entire American League over the last three episodes, and now it's time for that National League East. So, Greg, we'll go in alphabetical order. So, the Atlanta Braves.
My slogan for Atlanta is a little bit long, which... another reason nobody would pay us to do this, but it's come on down to rural Georgia to not see Ronald Acuna, because their stadium's in the middle of nowhere and they
Acuna's in the service time.
Yeah, playing the service time game with Acuna. So a great sales pitch by the Braves.
The Braves. I don't know.
Are these all sassy?
Yeah, they're sassy.
They all got a little touch of sass to
them. They're sassy. We're sassy guys.
I haven't been here for the last couple of
weeks. Well, we'll go through all the other... No. mine's just, we're not giant cheaters this year for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, yeah. Coppola. Yeah.
These are definitely sassy.
Yeah.
We're sassy boys. Joe. You know that about us.
Yeah.
Next up, the Miami Marlins.
My Miami Marlins slogan is just a picture of the "This is fine" dog. Like sitting in hell with sipping his coffee.
Nice. A graphical slogan.
Yeah, it's just graphic.
Yeah, graphic
it's
slogan.
X-rated. This is fine.
This is fine.
That's what I imagine Derek Jeter doing every day. This is fine.
Two. Can I do a Marlins one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this is just off the top of the dome.
Is that the slogan? Off the top of the dome.
Let's go see a Marlins game, said no one ever.
Whoa.
Wow.
Coming in with the high heat.
The high heat with the sass. Mine is in all caps. This slogan has been traded.
That's
really good.
Mm-hmm. Who did they trade the slogan to?
Who needs the slogan the most?
Mariners make the most trades.
They already did one to the Marlins, though.
Oh, that's true. They already traded,
so it has to be someone else. It has to be a contender. This one went to the let's go with the Brewers got this. Oh, they got Yelich.
The Nationals. They didn't trade for Real Muto, so they got a slogan instead.
Yeah. So that would be. If I was thinking ahead, I would have had my national slogan be a Marlins slogan.
Not too late.
All right. Next up, New York Mets.
My New York Mets slogan is the same as it is every year for the Mets, and it's, we're the Mets again.
Yeah.
They're always just Mets. They're always super
the Mets.
Hard.
They're always the Mets. Mine is, oh, shit, the Yankees are good again? Mm-hmm. They had 2 years where that wasn't true. They were
and they wasted them.
Good. Yeah.
Can I do one for the Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just... Mets with an H in the middle of it.
That's the best
really
one. That's better
really
than
good.
Either of ours.
That's way better.
Oh, man.
Next up in alphabetical order is the Philadelphia Phillies.
We kind of set this one up a few minutes ago, and my Philly slogan is, come see whatever the fuck Gabe Kapler's doing today.
I wrote these before the season started, so mine was just, we've grown impatient, because I feel like they're signing people a year ahead of time.
I like that you wrote yours before the season started, and I wrote mine in the middle of recording this episode because I forgot. Okay.
But yours was topical and good.
Yeah.
You
right.
intimidated me into giving a caveat for my. do you have one off the top of your dome for the Phillies?
Come for the cheesesteaks, stay for the Eagles.
That's actually pretty good.
That's actually pretty decent. Yeah.
Washington Nationals.
I'm kind of proud of this one.
Okay, great.
But it might take a little doing. I wish I hadn't said I was proud of it. I built it up too much. mine is the only time having 25 white dudes in one place is a good thing. Because every dude on the Nationals is like a white dude from...
Like a senator's son?
Basically, yeah. Like Scherzer, Strasburg, Harper, Zimmerman,
Tucker,
Eaton, Trey Turner.
Michael Taylor.
I mean, it's not every dude, but that was the exaggeration is what makes it funny.
No, I know. But the reason I did that is because when you said that, I seriously got concerned that there wasn't one, anybody that wasn't white.
I mean, close enough. Sean Doolittle, Ryan Matson.
Wow.
Yeah, they've got like the high, but they're all good players
Matt
too.
Weers. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah. It's like Duke. I explained to my wife, I was like, we were watching, I think Gonzaga, and I was like, they're the white guys. And I was like, there are certain basketball teams that just always have white guys.
Yep.
Indiana, Duke, no matter how good they are, and Gonzaga. Washington Nationals, see you in the ALDS, but no farther.
Yeah.
Was my Washington Nationals one.
Yeah, I was wondering. I'd thought about something like that, but I think this might be the year they actually get farther. So I was being a little optimistic
on
their part.
I think it is too. But you know, until they prove us wrong,
that's true.
That's their slogan.
It was like when you had to pick the Braves to win the NL East until they didn't. Sort of, they won 12 years in a row or whatever.
Oh yeah.
It was like for the first 12 years of the NL East's existence, they won.
Yeah, they went back to the old. Were they?
Right.
No, they were in the NL West before divisions.
Really?
Yeah, because there was that year that the reason that one of the big reasons they created the wild card was that year that they won. I'll probably get the numbers wrong, but they won like 103, and the Giants won 102 games.
Right.
Giants missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Oof, that's
rough. I think that was Bond's first year, so I think maybe not. I think I'm wrong on that, but that's how I know they're in the West because they finished ahead of the Giants.
Strange.
I don't know.
Sounds like realignment was critically needed.
Yeah. You have a dome one for the Nationals?
Not really. I guess like something about like being the tallest midgets, like being in an easy division.
I see.
It's good. Joe's better at this than us.
You're off the dome.
Off the dome.
None of us commented on Harper's last year.
Yeah. I thought about that too, but like, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he re-signed in Washington. Like, let's not pretend they haven't given out ridiculous contracts before. It's already such worn territory. Like, I'm already tired of Harper and Machado talk, and we've still got six more months of it, seven more months. So
I think Machado is because I like Machado better, and that might be a trade. I'm not interested in speculating about where Harper could sign for 2 years.
It's going to be the Yankees or the Nationals for sure.
Here's what I'm super tired of hearing about already. Maybe they're talking about it a lot, is that stupid fucking mound visit.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it. It's so stupid.
Wait, can you go over it?
There's a new rule where you only get six mound visits per game. And if you don't, your pitcher has to be taken, or if you go over it, your pitcher has to be taken out. And it counts like if the catcher comes out to talk, or if a manager or a pitching coach, unless
I thought it was just the manager, but that's
no, it's the manager.
The catcher can't.
Anytime anybody comes and stops the game by visiting a pitcher, unless there's an injury.
Making a little too big of a deal out of it, I think.
Also, it's a stupid rule. I mean, I don't care. It doesn't affect anything. But it's like it's stupid because Manfred does not understand what he's doing with this pace of play stuff.
I just want a pitch clock.
It's really a pitch clock.
That's it.
Yeah.
At most, it's going to cut out like 4 minutes of a game.
Like, yeah.
What is the point of it?
And it's like he's going after casual fans so hard that it's starting to bother me that that's his strategy, is that like fans don't want to see the catcher coming out. And there have been games that I watched where I was like, the catcher's coming out like once an inning or like once every batter.
There's some catchers
annoying.
Who are very bad about it.
Yeah. But do something else, like not have this like weird. Again, I don't. I'm not ranting. I'm not like rule changes suck. I just think it's ineffective and
they're
dumb.
Strange rules.
This
feels like a bigger conversation.
Yeah,
so we should dive into it at some point.
Yeah.
But right now, I think we should go to our talk with Sandeep Parikh about them Bo Sox. Yeah. So we'll be right back. Welcome back. Joining us in the extravagant Duck Snort Studios, we have actor, writer, comedian Sandeep Parikh. You know him from The Guild, from Legend of Neil, and you can also see his newest show called That Moment When at HelloEko.com. That's HelloEko.com. Sandeep, how's it going, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. You don't call this like the dugout or some sort of...
The pen.
The pen.
That sounds like sort of a bar near a stadium that you wouldn't want to go to.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst. That's the worst one.
The library.
The team library.
Yeah. I feel like every town has a library, right?
The skybox.
Yeah. The clubhouse.
The clubhouse. Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
The showers.
Let's call this place the showers.
Welcome to the Duck Snort Showers.
Welcome to the ice tub.
Thanks for being here, man. The one thing that I didn't say during this little intro is that you are a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
A diehard of Boston sports in general. But of course.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Doesn't it go without saying that an Indian guy is a Red Sox fan?
Yeah. That's a stereotype.
That's a big stereotype.
We're not really about stereotypes here, but that's the one stereotype that's true.
I was born and raised in New Hampshire. So that probably makes... Now it's actually starting to make sense, right? And it's very much, you know, the religion is baseball, specifically, I'd say.
Are like half the people split with the Yankees, too?
No.
New England's
in New
like
Hampshire?
Red Sox.
No.
All
yeah, we're Red Sox
like
country.
I know.
In Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut
is a problem state. We don't like to talk about Connecticut too much, frankly, because they're very much the fair weather state. And I'm saying this, my wife is from Connecticut, and, you know, her family is split. There's a lot of, like, New York Giants fans and New York Yankees fans. It's tough. It's really more difficult than even the fact that they are religiously also different. That's actually more of a problem.
On a like sort of more cultural global scale.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Just a baseball scale. So who were your guys like growing up Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, it was I grew up in the 80s. It was Roger Clemens, Wade Boggs, Marty
never
Barrett.
Of, never heard of him. Never heard of these guys.
You've never heard of any of those guys?
No. Marty Barrett, yeah.
Yeah, Marty Barrett. but, you know, that's who I like. When I first became, like, aware of myself, you know, like when I went through the mirror phase as a baby, that's, like, what I really, you know, I was like, oh, Roger Clemens is amazing. And I didn't know anything about steroids at the time. So he's still amazing.
To be fair,
mind.
In the 80s, he probably wasn't on steroids.
Right. Yet. He was just doing the thing where he was punching rice barrels.
Yeah.
You see those commercials? Maybe you only saw those commercials. It was like Roger Clemens' off-season workout was him like punching into rice. like giant barrels of rice. He would just punch into them over and over again.
How does that help you?
I don't know. I guess it makes your arm strong. I mean,
that's
probably
how you get a nasty slider right there. It's just fists into rice.
See, what they didn't show you was by the time he was done, the rice was cooked.
So he punched cooked rice.
Yeah. If you can slide your fist all the way to the bottom, master the slider.
Yeah. Actually, it didn't have anything to do with baseball. It was just like his sort of separate
I
side
hate rice.
Wade Boggs is waiting to have rice with his chicken.
So how often did you go to games? Like
go to Fenway Park?
Yeah.
Pretty rarely. We were a very frugal family, so my parents did not spring for going to baseball games. I probably went to, like, the first baseball game I went to, it was probably, gosh, must have been like 11 or 12, and I went with like my, you know, my little league team for like a trip, and you know, they got some group discount, and my parents were like, okay, we can spring for the $16, I guess it was, to get tickets. So, and Wade Boggs hit, was 3 for 4, 3 doubles off the monster.
Off the monster.
There you go.
Wow, what a vintage Wade Boggs game.
Yeah.
I was watching Sunday Night Baseball yesterday, and Alex Rodriguez brought up Wade Boggs as like, he was talking about launch angle, and like Alex Rodriguez is apparently old school now, and was like, well, line drives, I don't get all this launch angle stuff. Wade Boggs. And I was like, how many decades from now is Wade Boggs like still going to be the guy that they talk about as far as like, just make line drive contact, like hit doubles? Because like, I barely remember Wade Boggs being a good player. Right, and I'm 31.
Like
I remember
a little before your time, actually.
Yeah, I remember him being on the Yankees when they won in '96, but like he was already past his prime then. And then he was hanging around. But I'm like, how
much?
Like
Tampa Bay.
A pretty solid percentage of this audience listening to Alex Rodriguez right now does not know or care about Wade Boggs, right?
I don't. It's hard with baseball because like you can still reference.
I know, but like, you know, to me, it's like, oh, now Wade Boggs is like Carl Yastrzemski, you know,
right,
a huge percentage of the audience, where it's like, I only know Carl Yastrzemski as like being a good baseball player that baseball announcers refer to, anything like any kind of literal.
So it ages up. It makes sense. So Wade Boggs is now the, and then soon they'll be talking about, in 15 years, they'll be talking about David Ortiz.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, that's the point, right? Is like David Ortiz is super relevant. Like, can't you talk about his swing? Or like Ichiro? Like, if you need like an example, Ichiro's still playing. Right. Talk about line drive swings.
Ichiro and Wade Boggs are probably the same in the sense that the way they hit in game, at least is what I heard, is different than that how they could hit in like batting practice. So like they would be like freaking knocking out home runs all day and night in batting practice, both of them. But in game, they were much more, you know, they're hitting for percentage, and they would sort of change their swing up.
George Brett, another guy like that? Yeah. Although he hit line drives, but he also was taught basically because he came up as a home run hitter. And the Charlie Lau, I think I say it, was like, hey, you play on AstroTurf, like hit it onto the AstroTurf because it'll bounce and they won't catch it. It's hard to field balls on AstroTurf. And then that's when Brett became like an amazing, like
just slapping
batter.
balls
into the ground and like hitting these line drives that outfielders couldn't handle.
Just punching rice into the ground.
Yeah, punching rice.
He would cook the AstroTurf by the end of.
Oh, it's also weird that he's punching rice because he played with Jim Rice.
Yeah,
like find a different.
It's passive aggressive.
There you go. That's the veiled racism that Boston is. You know,
that's what it is.
Really well known for. I mean, really, like, becoming a Boston fan was very much survival, I think, for me. Like, I look back on it now as I became a fan. I mean, I do love baseball, but I think it was also my way of, like, relating to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it was totally all white people and waspy white people, quite like this room. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not together.
but I think that, like, as a kid, you know, like, people would just sort of look at you like, what are you? And then you're like, Wade Boggs had a great game. You know, Jody Reed hit, you know, 2 for 5. And they're like, oh, okay, and I can relate to him. But I really do think it was like sort of a way to sort of just normalize myself in small town New Hampshire.
Where in New Hampshire did you grow up?
Goffstown.
Goffstown?
Yes. You've never heard of it. You shouldn't have heard of it. It's near Manchester, which is our big,
that's our big city.
Hub.
Yeah.
What did your parents think about baseball? Like, because I've met your parents. Yeah. They're from India.
Right.
Like, they obviously wouldn't have grown up with it or had much sort of, like, cultural insight into, like, what it is, I guess. Were they, like, I guess I'm running the risk of, like, again, stereotyping, but, like, did they know cricket and sort of understand
that? Yeah, I was going to make the joke, like, that they're playing cricket wrong. They did know cricket is big in India. It's very much the baseball of India. It's the game, you know, like, I think they're both similar games because you can pick up a stick off the road and start, you know, it's like a stick and a ball is all you need kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like, it's a good, you know, village type game or whatever. So my parents were, my dad is not a sports fan at all. He's the most frustrating person to watch sports with because he's like, oh, he will literally root for whoever's winning so that he's never wrong. You know, so he was always like, oh, the Milwaukee Bucks are doing really great. We're like, shut up, dad. Like, this is not okay. My mom is a hardcore fan.
Oh. Yeah,
so nice. She just loves being a fan, I believe.
Okay.
But she like, you know, knows a decent amount. Yeah. Like, she won't really remember everybody's name per se unless she's like really has been watching, like they make the playoffs and she's like really into it. But she will, I mean, she will scream and yell and get super into it. It's always so funny. Like the classic story of my mom, and this is not baseball, this is basketball, but she would get so angry at, she's one of those people that like doesn't really care to give anybody the benefit of the doubt if they're having a cold game. So she'll just be like, don't give it to Bird. He's ice cold. Don't give it to Bird. He is just playing shit right now. Give it to Ainge. Just give it to Ainge. He's hitting everything. You know, so like I have like these memories of my mom just screaming at the TV and
about how much Larry Bird sucks.
Yeah, about how much Larry Bird sucks. Like, forget his Hall of Fame credentials. Like, he's cold today, so fuck him. So I definitely got a lot of my fandom from my mom. Like, she was the loudest person at any, you know, Little League game for all the kids. Like, she'd remember all their names and just like to root for all of them like they were her son. It was awesome.
Do you have siblings too?
I have two older brothers. Yeah.
Did they also use sports?
I don't think not as much as I am into sports. Like, yeah. They definitely like leaned in. They had me lean into sports fandom in a way that they didn't really. So I was like the big baseball card collector and stuff like that. Which they encouraged, but I don't think that they particularly. I mean, they're big Patriots fans and stuff like that, but it didn't really translate to baseball as much as it did to me. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like my mom is similar. Like, when you were telling those stories, I was thinking back and like, college basketball is a big thing in Tucson where I grew up, and so we would watch all the games, and my mom, it wasn't like she would get down on the players so much, but it would be like one thing would go wrong and she'd be like, they're doing it again, they suck. They're gonna lose this game, and I'm like, mom, they're up by 12. Like, right. She's like, I know, but they're blowing it, look, they're blowing it. I'm like, there was one foul.
Right.
That's pretty great. Well, we were going to do, so in our preview podcast last week, Wayland was saying, how could I put this delicately, that the Red Sox fucking suck.
No,
it wasn't at all.
But in like a waspier tone.
Yeah. And
like, the Red Sox.
No, you were just saying you thought that the Red Sox were maybe going to disappoint a little bit.
I believe I'd pick them to not make the playoffs, and correct. I said that they would finish 10 games behind the Yankees.
Correct. And so,
it's very possible.
Are the two things I said.
But presumably you're, at least at this sort of young point in the season, a little bit more optimistic about their fate, right?
I don't know if you know Boston fans very well. We're not notoriously optimistic, but
even now, 12 like, championships yeah, in the last 12, decade yeah, or right. whatever.
I feel like, though, of a Red Sox fan, now you'd be the least confident because you've had these like weird, like Francona's last season, and like these weird seasons of like, it seems like there have been huge disappointments that have come with, for every 2013, there's been like another terrible year.
Yeah, they've been definitely vacillating between first and last.
Yeah, and it's hard to get your hopes up when it's like kind of the same team and you don't know how great they're going to be.
Yeah, like I am optimistic because it's baseball season, like the beginning of baseball season, so it's always fun to sort of get, see the players out there on the field, and like, you know, Bogarts is hitting well and you were pitching really well, and so like it's... Yeah, I'd say like if you had asked me, I think last week before they started playing regular season games, I think I would have been just as pessimistic.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they've
just
played well so far, or
of course
just...
they are playing Tampa Bay, so right.
Yeah,
it's easy to get pumped about that, I guess.
Well, so I'm curious. Then I want to just like throw out a few players, or perhaps other members of the organization, other facets of the organization, and I want to get each of your different points of view on them, each of your different takes. And then I'm going to be the arbiter, the judge, to decide who has the correct take. So this will reflect poorly on all of us probably come the end of the season. You guys will both be wrong,
right.
and I'll have picked the wronger of you as the better take. But I want to see sort of the pessimist versus the Red Sox fan slash optimist,
okay,
I guess.
Great.
So I want to start. I wasn't going to start with this, but you're wearing a Dustin Pedroia T-shirt right now.
I am, yeah.
So I want to know, what are your expectations from Pedroia this season?
First, can we talk about how awesome this T-shirt is?
It's a great T-shirt.
His nickname is Laser Show. And this is a T-shirt
Line
that
Drive
I just,
Guy. Wade Boggs guy.
Correct. And this is a T-shirt that I invented, essentially, because I really was like, if he's Laser Show, then he needs to have a photo on the backdrop of those like 90s...
like school
photos
school, yeah.
of like the lasers in the background. So my ex-girlfriend made this for me.
It's pretty great. I bet you could make a couple bucks like selling those outside the stadium or something.
Just like the Yankee Sucks guys.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure.
Did you read that article about them?
Yeah, then they did a 30 for 30 radio podcast.
Oh, did they?
Too. It's basically the same information. We get to hear them say it.
Yeah. I really wanted to like get the movie rights to that.
What's the story?
Like a
Matt I'm not aware
Damon,
of
Ben
it.
Affleck movie waiting to happen. It's just that these guys, it's about this sort of underworld of T-shirt hawking that happens outside of stadiums, and these guys and how there's almost like a mafia element to the whole thing.
Yeah, they sold Yankees Sucks T-shirts.
And they
like invented them.
Sort of have the market cornered.
Yeah.
Had
it cornered.
Yeah. This is like the late 90s, early 2000s. Actually, 9/11 happening is what ruined ended it for them. Spoiler alert.
Because
it was hard to say Yankees suck after 9/11.
In the immediate aftermath.
Yeah.
Huh.
But they were like kids that were into like hardcore music and stuff, like Boston hardcore. And then, they ran it like a mafia. They kind of ran their racket like a mafia and had like paid off cops.
Intimidation.
Yeah.
For any other sellers. And yeah,
we're like going out to fancy dinners like in their shitty clothes. Right. it's a really crazy story.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think it was Grantland.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely worth
cool.
a read.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll look it up and I'll tweet it out for listeners as well.
It's really good.
Okay, but sorry, getting back to your thing.
Yeah,
Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah.
So Pedroia.
What's the question? Is he going to play
at
all?
So he's starting the season on the DL. Yeah. Like, how many games do you think he's going to play? What kind of season is he going to have? And how is that going to affect the Red Sox?
I think he'll have a bounce back. He'll bounce back from this injury, being the optimist that I am. And just because he's Dustin Pedroia, I think he will hit around 300. He might only play, say, 90 or 100 games. I could see that happening. But I think that they're playing it cautiously with him and are waiting for him to get sort of back to full health. We also have a big problem here because Nunez is I love Nunez, but he's also got a balky knee situation going on. So we do have like alarm bells around second base, but I have strong hopes that I think Dustin will do his thing and hit like 10, 15 home runs, hit around 300 and get like 70 RBI, 80 RBI.
All right. Waylon?
Is my role here to always take the con?
Doesn't have to be contrary, I guess if you're going to
I'm taking the position that the Red Sox will not make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think that I agree with a lot of what you said, but I think that this, I guess, like, it could, I could be, obviously I could be wrong, but Pedroia seems like a Joe Mauer, Ichiro, Craig Biggio type player in that just kind of suddenly they're not going to be good.
He'll just drop off all of a sudden.
Yeah, because like I was just looking at his numbers. He's been pretty consistently good if he plays, and since he's not playing, and I feel like since he's Dustin Pedroia, he's going to play long, having a Jeter too, he's going to play longer. Then
he'll get long of the tooth.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if Nunez isn't playing well, or Brock Holt or whoever they're going to put out at second, like they'll keep running Pedroia out, and it might be their detriment when he's not, when he is hitting 260 and can't run.
Son of a bitch.
Interesting.
That could happen. You know what I mean, though? Like it happened to Joe Mauer, Ichiro,
sure.
These, these players, it's like, how do you justify taking them out of the lineup because of their potential? Or they could be David Ortiz and never be bad.
Right.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But as the judge here, I'm going to go with Sandeep because I think sort of what the thing that you're ignoring within that is that Ichiro was a good player until he was like 38 or something like that.
Sure.
And Pedroia is still in his early 30s. And the reason...
He's 34?
Yeah, he's turning 34 this season,
yeah.
I believe.
Yes.
But I think his game is built on hand-eye coordination, so he's going to be...
You don't lose that.
Yeah, he's going to be a high average guy. And from what I understand about this knee procedure, it was almost like preventative. Like, it was like... It was not... Like, he's had knee issues, but this wasn't particularly severe. It was more like, oh, we're going to go back in. It was like cartilage restoration or something.
Yeah.
So it was like they're...
It was basically a massage from the inside of his knee.
Right, from the inside, yeah. So basically, this is to keep him healthy as opposed to fix something.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he'll have a good year
this
year.
There's going to be a hard slide in a
second. He's going with me for none of the reasons that I said.
No, I think you're... But the answer is the same.
His lowest batting average is .278 ever.
When was that? What year?
2014.
Oh.
But then other than that, his lowest is .288. In 2010. So, yeah, he is a consistently high average guy.
And he doesn't strike out.
Both,
yeah.
If I remember correctly, at least one of those seasons, he had a pretty nasty wrist injury.
2010, he only played 75 games.
Or thumb injury. So, yeah. He was like fighting through the whole season.
Well, it's also like a dude like him that doesn't strike out is going to be helped by the juice ball, too. Right. You know, because like even if he loses some power, you're not going to necessarily see it in the numbers, maybe.
Right. But you're right that he is one of those guys, Waylon. You are definitely right that he's one of those guys.
Yeah, they're not going to take him out of the lineup.
He's not going to take himself out. He doesn't like. He's not going to complain about injuries that, even though he probably should. You know, take a 10-day or something.
He
like that.
He just feels like the guy's going to have that season where it's like, oh boy, we shouldn't have him out here anymore.
I could see that.
Yeah.
All right. Our next player is David Price.
Oh, okay.
What are you expecting out of David Price?
I'm going to say it. Cy Young.
Cy Young.
I think he's going to throw it down this year. Yeah. I mean, he looked nasty in his first start, and that's really overly optimistic because he looked nasty, but he was still throwing like 92, 93. I think he's going to have a really strong bounce back here. I think he might end up like edging out Chris Sale, not like in strikeouts, but in, you know, ERA and WHIP and maybe some other key stats. Like, I think he'll have, like, the better overall year, potentially, than Chris Sale.
Interesting.
It's my bold prediction.
I agree with that, because I was down on Sale last week,
that's one of the
reasons I gave. Excuse me. I do think Price will have a great year. I agree with you there. I think Price will, I think he'll have a bounce back year. I think he's too good not to, and I like him. But he is a head case, and so I think that it's going to come down to it, and Price is going to be on the mound for a must-win game in September, and he's going to give up, you know, 9 runs in 2 1/3.
You know, that's tough for me to say that he won't do that.
And so I think
of these guys are like playoff, like they're not real big playoff winners, right? Even Chris Sale.
Yeah, well, Sale's last year was the first year he'd ever been in the playoffs.
Oh, right, because that's right. Because
the White Sox
team
have sucked. Okay, well, I can say that. You can't say that, okay,
you
man?
You can't say garbage team. So I think Price will have a great season, but I think Price will fuck them right in the end, at the very end. He'll...
you were going to say right in the end.
Then
you started that.
And that will be... They'll miss the playoffs because of David Price.
I will just say that he was the one pitcher that crushed it in the playoffs last year for us.
That's true. He was pretty dominant.
That is true. And he has a pretty good playoff resume, right? Like, wasn't he? No?
No, no, no.
No,
he didn't have a playoff win, I think, until...
Oh.
Yeah, he sort of choked with the Blue Jays a little bit.
That's right. But what about with the Rays? Was he there in 2008? Was he like a rookie? Because wasn't there one of...
You know what it is?
Or was
I think
it Shields?
When he comes
I think
in relief...
Yeah, it's relief.
He came in relief against the Red Sox in the playoffs when he was with the Rays and like dominated
us. I think that's what it was. He was like young and he
but
was
he's never won as a starting pitcher.
A starter, so he's
and
a
I think
bad
he
starter.
Still hasn't won as a starting pitcher. He won against another... He won, I think, the one game against
that's
the Astros
right.
that
okay.
the Red Sox won in relief. But anyway.
Yeah, he has a... 5.54 ERA in 66 innings.
Well, that's going to stay 5.54 because the Red Sox aren't going to make the playoffs.
Okay, well, I guess I have to agree with Sundeep by default because I do think the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs. But I think you guys are both right. Like, because the thing about Price, too, was he wasn't bad last year. Like, he... certainly disappointing, I think, as a whole for his contract and his 2 years with the Red Sox. But, like, mostly he was just injured last year. He pitched well when he was playing. And then the sort of thing that, I guess, put a shadow over his season was, like, getting into that weird fight with Eckersley.
<So weird>.
But otherwise, like, I think he seems like a little bit, like abashed now. I don't know if that's the right word, but he seems like a little bit more modest and like, I shouldn't have been talking shit with Eckersley. Like, I'm just going to focus on pitching. Like,
I think also that now Sale is clearly who everyone expects to be the number one. Like, that's
take some of the pressure
off. There's less like, oh, I'm the ace, I'm the big contract guy, because Sale is 100% the focus in that realm at this point. So that, I think that's going to help him.
Sure. So the last player I want to talk about is JD Martinez.
Okay.
What are you thinking of Martinez so far in the three games that he's played for the Red Sox? And what are you expecting?
As one of those single team baseball fans, I don't know a ton about him other than, like, you know, what's been written about him. I didn't really, like, watch a bunch of Diamondbacks games. Was that the team he was on in Arizona?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So he looks like a guy that can mash, I'll say that. And I like his, like, I like his approach at the plate. Like, he looks like he swings at good pitches, and, you know, he's not just, like, whiffing. I mean, there was a couple strikeouts where he got struck out looking at a fastball right down the plate, which I was kind of like, oh, that's weird. I guess he was waiting for something off speed. But, like, in general, he looks like he's, like, a very smart, attentive hitter, and like, he's built like a freaking truck, like a V, you know. What's the question? Like, do I predict he'll have a big season?
Yeah. What do you expect
of the Boston media kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah. And his fit with the team, and I don't know. However you want to interpret the question, it's just a thought exercise.
Yeah.
It's game theory. You know what I mean?
I am hopeful. I mean, he got like two hits, I guess, in this Tampa Bay series. Like, I don't think he hasn't warmed up quite just yet, but I expect that he's gonna hit he might not match his numbers of last year, but I think he'll hit like over 30-35 home runs and have a strong, and I think he'll do a lot to anchor the middle of the lineup. I feel confident about it, especially if Bogaerts has a good bounce back season. If he's got like the support around and the protection around him, I think he's going to hit really well. And I do feel like the general optimism of the rest of the lineup was kind of slumping as a whole.
It was disappointing last year and they could all play better. Sort of.
Like Betts, Bogaerts was injured and he had a hidden injury. And I think that we're already seeing the benefits of him being healthy. Like, I think he'll have enough protection in the lineup, and he'll thwack some balls. But his average won't be as high. Maybe, you know, just the adjustment kind of period of going from small market to, like, you know, neurotic Boston market might affect him a bit.
Waylon?
I just think it's going to be hard to hit 35 home runs when you tear your ACL in May.
It's a very specific prediction.
No, no, no. I think it's hard to argue against JD Martinez.
You son of a bitch.
You just picked some players that are hard to argue. Like, JD Martinez, I think, will be good. But do you remember when everyone was freaking out about how great Edwin Encarnacion is going to be for the Indians? And it was like kind of like didn't matter. Like, I think JD Martinez could be very good, and he could have a great war even, but I don't know if the Red Sox play, I guess it's like the opposite. Like, you're saying, oh, Bogaerts and Betts hit better. But if they don't, I don't think JD Martinez is like an X factor that can get them. So in that conversation, you know what I mean? Like, even if I don't think that Betts is going to hit that well, or I think he's going to be similar to what he was last year. I think Bogaerts could be better. Like, I don't love Mitch Moreland. There's like a lot of pieces I don't love on the team. I'm also down on Chris Sale. So I think that JD Martinez adds value, but not so much that now they're a 100. They're a 100
win
team
competing with the Yankees. Yeah.
And again, I think that obviously he's great, but sometimes
he's
even
not Stanton.
I mean, he might have a similar WAR to Stanton, even, but Stanton is also has Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and Didi
Gregorius,
who I think is going
to
be better.
His name is a stutter.
Yeah, and they have like that great bullpen. So like, I think that Stanton's going into a better situation, and JD Martinez, I don't think I don't really usually believe in savior players unless it's like a starting pitcher that's like a no. Like Sale last
Sale
year
was a savior
meant
player.
More to me than JD Martinez does this year. So that's why I think JD Martinez helps their chances, but I think that if people are hitting around him, I don't think he can make a bust through single-handedly. I don't think he's going to have a Bryce Harper type year, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, this one I'm actually going to rule sort of a no decision on.
Because
I actually have a different opinion than both of you guys, I think, which is
65 home runs.
65 home runs and hitting 100. Yeah. No, that actually kind of is it, is like, I think he'll crank a lot of homers because he'll the Green Monster, it's easy to hit him over, you know? But I think he's never really been a regular DH before, and I think that sort of DH penalty of will hurt him, and I think he'll maybe have like a down contact year. So I could see him hitting like 250, but with 40 homers and seeing, because he's a big strikeout guy too. Yeah. He is, and he's like he's a very smart hitter. He's one of the like big launch angle guys, but like with the prevalence of launch angle, I think pitchers are going to start learning how to pitch to those guys.
Yeah.
So I could see him like having a down year and needing to make some adjustments, which maybe he won't make until the following season. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when he hits the ball, he'll hit it hard, but like the combination of like the big market and with more focus on him, like those problems might spiral a little bit, and he'll have like still an a year in which he contributes, but maybe it is seen as a disappointment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That being said, I think he's still a good fit for that team. Like, they needed a guy who could hit 40 homers because they didn't have one.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, to your point that he may not be the savior, but, like, it's like without him, I feel like there's a giant hole.
There's a big hole. Like, you don't want Hanley Ramirez and Mitch.
Oh, yeah. And I do think that they're more likely to make the playoffs with JD Martinez, but it wasn't a big enough add to me to say like, well, that cinches it, you know, like, I don't know who they could have added to make that happen. Yeah. But also I think because I'm down on Chris Sale kind of arbitrarily, just cause I think it's gotta happen. I think then that maybe that
looked
gap
bad in that first
closes.
Start. He looked pretty good in that first start.
I think he's good. My prediction was that he's going to pitch fewer than 150 innings.
Oh.
I think this is the year that he goes down.
I don't know. I think he's like a Randy Johnson freak where he's just going to like
do it forever.
Keep throwing. Yeah, I could see him pitching until he's 40, because if his arm hasn't fallen off after 10 years of it, like why would it? Why would it be? Why would it happen in the next 10?
How old is he?
You know what I mean? He's I think he turns 29 this year.
Okay. When he's 33, if he hasn't gotten injured, then I'm going to I'll
change
say
your
now.
Mind.
I will be 100% on board.
All right. Tune in to Duck Store episode 434.
I'll come back for that.
Yeah, come back when I was like, okay, Chris Sale is great.
Well, we're about out of time, but thanks so much for being here, Cindy.
Thanks for having me and talking about the team that I know.
Yeah.
The most.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was really worried that you guys were going to like
we also a
deep Royals episode.
We want to provide coverage to teams that no one really talks about.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So you say one from the Red Sox.
Yeah, we want to
exactly.
make sure. We
yeah, small
you.
Market.
Thanks so much. Nobody ever gives us any love. So.
Well, I hope for your sake they do have a good year, and I think they are now back in the position where everybody is rooting for them instead of the Yankees.
That's the
you
hope.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're no longer the evilest empire. They're second to evilest
second
again.
Evilest.
So
we have a slightly smaller Death Star. It's like
it's like a stun star.
It can only destroy moons. I also want to be on the record of I am rooting up for the Red Sox over the Yankees as a fan 100%. I would love nothing more than to see the Yankees win 80 games.
Yeah.
But I made a prediction, and Greg is really just holding me to it.
You're going to stick by it. Yeah. No, I think you're very forthright with it. So. Well, yeah, we'd love to have you on again, and maybe we'll check in later this season and see how the Sox are doing.
Let's see how they're doing, yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll be right back with a little bit more Death Star.
That's it for another episode of Duck Snore, our first one of the regular season, in the regular season.
Yeah. I think surround. Either preposition is acceptable.
Well, we'd like to thank our guest Sandeep Parikh. His latest doings is That Moment Win on HelloEcho.com. Check that out.
Yeah, I'll jump in just to say it's very cool. It's an interactive comedy series where you make choices for the lead character, and it's very
well
done.
It's like a
choose
your own adventure, like interactive thing, right?
Yeah. And it's with Milena. Melania Trump. It's with Melania Trump.
Melania Trout.
Melania Trout. Never mind. Just go watch it. Huh?
Also follow him at Sandeep Parikh on all social media platforms.
Indeed.
Same thing for all of them.
Yeah. You can also follow us on Twitter at DuckSnortPod. You can email us DuckSnortPod@gmail.com. Thanks again to Boardwalk Audio and to Off the Bench Baseball. Go to both of their websites. Check them out. Thanks to Moonbounce for our transition music. Thanks to Joe Weber. He's back, baby. Our producer is back, which makes our lives way easier. So thank you, Joe. And we'll be back again next week with more baseball, more deep dives into baseball trivia.
Deep snorts.
More deep snorts. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you then.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.